Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we are here, Roy Matlock Jr., as we do every single week, talking money, and gosh, I've been doing this forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, like, I think going on 33 years ago, is that right? 1992, 93 was the first time I set foot in a radio station. And I don't know, I guess I'm crazy enough to like it. And but I like educating people. And if you're tuning in right now, I would encourage you to visit RoyMatlockJr.com or go to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. And we literally have posted every single thing you could probably ever think about when it comes to money on the podcast. And so what I'm going to do today, our last show, if you're kind of following along, I called it the magic of $500 a month. And that magic of $500 a month really had to do with, if you just get started and you automate something, you know, what I mean by automating, you know, it's like a bill pay. You know, if you've got your electric bill, I always tell people, if you want to avoid late charges, just put everything on bill pay, you know, to where it automatically pays. You don't have to worry about it. Then you just put your money in, make sure the money goes in your checking account. The money goes out, it's automatically deducted, you know, or it's drafted automatically by the company, and you don't pay late charges. So that saves you money right there. It saves you time and headache. I always like to automate stuff, but also automate the investments. And the way you do that is you set your 401k up, and it just takes, you know, setting it up, and then you deduct it every week, and now you've automated the outcome. Or we do a retirement plan like a Roth IRA, and we draft it. That's the accumulation stage. And so what happens is there's really three stages of the money life. The first one is accumulating money, and it's the easiest stage. The easiest stage is to accumulate. That is, don't procrastinate and implement. All right, that's simple. I always tell people, if I'm working with somebody getting started, I say, look, we got to protect your income and we got to grow your money. How do we protect your income? We buy life insurance. Maybe you, through your work, you may have disability income, or you buy that. And so now we've protected the income stream. Once you have an income protected, then at that point, all it amounts to is automating the investments. And then we go in growth funds, and we, you know, automatically deduct it, and we put it in 401k or Roth. And one day you wake up and you're like, hey, I got 100 grand. That's the first goal. And then from there, we, you know, and 100 grand, by the way, is about 500 bucks a month, give or take, for 10 years, and you got 100 grand. And then you let that 100 grand start compounding and so on. But when you get in the retirement zone, all right, or the withdrawal phases of your money, or you're getting near to that, that's when it starts getting tricky. And then the last phase, which can be very tricky for your beneficiaries, is the transfer stage. But the transfer stage, you're not involved in it. You are leaving it to your kids and stuff like that. But the bottom line is when you leave this earth, you probably would like to leave something behind that's positive, not negative. And so anyway, with that being said, what is the retirement red zone? I kind of call it 10 years in. So you're right now, you've got your number, you think you're going to retire at 67, 50, so you're 55 to 60 years old, and you've accumulated some money. We're in, you know, the stock market has been rocking, and as a result, if you've been in the stock market, you've seen a lot of gains. So the first thing I do is I break my income into two phases, or two parts, or my savings into two parts. What I have, and what the monthly or amount or annual amount of money that I'm going to be saving until I retire. And so I break it down. I said, well, I got $1 million sitting in my 401k. I'm 55 years old. If it gets 8%, it's going to double in 9 years. So at 64, I'm going to have $2 million. All right. That's one way. I'm saving 30 grand a year for 10 years. Okay. If I'm maxing out my 401k individually, put that in 30 grand a year. Do that for 10 years, it's 300 in, it might grow to 600. So what's the most important thing you've got? It's what you've already saved. If it's the other way around, it's different, all right? So then what I'm going to do is I'm going to first take, and I'm going to say, well, what if I could back it off a little bit so I don't have the lost decade, potentially to where the market's down and all it does is go down and come back up over a 10-year period, which we've had that happen before. And what if I just back off what I've got a little bit and, you know, get a 75-25 portfolio, maybe 65-35, something like that, stock bond. And then that way I kind of put a little safety nest inside of what I've got. But then I want to do dollar cost averaging in, and I'm going to probably be very aggressive in the buying because if the market goes down, I want to take advantage of it by doing dollar cost averaging. So that's kind of a mindset when I meet with people. That's how I go about doing things. Now, let's say you're closer to retirement. At that point, we're going to start taking the lump sum and we're going to start saying, how are we going to do it? Well, I hear people all the time, they tell me, they say, you know, I'm not worried about dying. I'm worried about living and running out of money. And so how do we go about that? Well, we have to look at something called sequence of return risk. And what does that mean? That means that, you know, people are like right now, this kind of reminds me in some respects of some of the other markets. It may be different. Every time the markets are rocketing, me being the not being a pessimist, but just understanding that historically they don't just always go up. You know, I remember the tech crash, everything went up. And then I remember 2007, you know, where things, I remember even, you know, the COVID, you know, and stuff like that. So what I try to do is not look at timing the market. I try to just get the market, put it in perspective. You know, right now, could I lose 20 to 30% and be okay? If you're sitting all of your money in a S&P type fund and markets do that. I mean, we had this in 2007. It was down 42%. Took a long time for it to recover. All right. Like 7-8 years, something like that. And so could you do that? And so what we do is we do a retirement review for you. If you would like a free review, we go into everything. We go from start to finish when it comes from accumulating money to withdrawing money, to transferring money. And when we do that, we'll take a look and say, hey, where are you asset allocated? You may be a little frothy right now. If you're near retirement, if you're young, you know, it's a whole different game. And so what we're talking about today is a retirement red zone. And in that type of thing, these reviews are important. If you're not working with someone or you'd like a second opinion, that's what we do. And we'll do a review and a real review. And we'll get into everything from retirement readiness to income planning, Social Security review, tax planning, long-term care, wills and trust, all those kind of stuff. So with that being said, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. You're listening to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Right, if you're just tuning in, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're talking really to those people today that are, you know, within 10 years of retirement, or you're actually in retirement, and this show is going to be geared toward that. The previous show that I did was, you know, more in the accumulation phase. There's three phases we go through in planning. The first one is the accumulation stage. That's basically, let's get a plan in place where you'll have something. And then the second one is in the withdrawal or distribution stage. And then the last one is setting up the transfer of wealth to the next generation phase. And so you want to do that right. I know my mom and dad, you know, they're fortunate in that they lived a long life. My dad made it almost to 90. My mother just passed away at 102 and, I mean, was healthy most of the time. But even better than that, and I always, you know, kind of say this and brag it a little bit, but the great news was they had a good financial advisor, me. And as a result of that, not only did they live well throughout retirement, and they actually sold their business back when he was 60 years old, he and my mother. And for 42 years in what is considered retirement, not only did they live good, additionally, they were able to pass along an estate to each of my sisters and my brother. And so as a result of that, that is doing it all. You accumulate, you withdraw, and you transfer. And so today we're talking about accumulating, withdraw, and transfer, but mostly we're going to talk about withdrawing and transferring. So if you're just tuning in right now, that's what we're going to do. So let's talk about some things that I look at when I meet with people, and I'm going to give you some case studies. If you keep listening here, retirement readiness analysis, what does that mean? Let's take a look at what you have and what you owe. Let's take a look at what type of realistic income can we generate that will last and see where you're at. And when I meet with people, there's usually about three types of people. We do a lot of seminars and we do a lot of webinars. And if you want to see some of the replays, you can go to roymatlockjr.com. But these webinars and seminars and different things like that, we have people come in from all over. And I always tell them, I said, look, we got one of three types of people in the room. You're either behind, you're on track, or you're well past on track. And you got different goals. So if you're behind, then what we're going to do is we're going to say, how can we generate the most we can income-wise with the amount of money that you have with no regard for an inheritance? That's the way I look at it. Your kids are on their own. You got to figure out how you're going to make it, all right? And the second one would be that you're doing fine. The intention is that you're going to have a great life and you're going to leave something behind. And the third area is you're way ahead of that. Now, what we're going to do is look at how can we avoid taxes after our death? How can we, do some step up type things, which I'll talk about. And so first thing we do is look at the retirement readiness. So let's say that I meet with you and you're behind and you're out there right now. I'll give you some examples. I met with a couple one time and they had $2,600 a month in Social Security coming in between the two of them. It was broken down between $900 for one and $1,700 for the other. So if one of them passes, they lose $900. Okay. So now they're down to $1,700. That's not good. They got a house payments, about $1,000 a month. They owe $100,000 ballpark. All right. But the good news, the house was worth about six, maybe something like that. They had no money saved and they're trying to figure out what to do. And so of course I always tell you, first off, if you can continue to work until you just can't work, or if you just can't stand it, that's one thing. But if you need it, continue to work, and then that way. But we did a reverse mortgage for them and eliminated the house payment. They were also able to get some cash to do something with. I think it ended up the reverse mortgage was able to get them about enough to, it ended up, they eliminated their house payment, which was about $1,000 a month other than the taxes and insurance. And they picked up another $1,200 a month on the reverse mortgage. So we took them from $2,600 a month with a house payment to $2,600 a month with no house payment. And then we got another $1,200 out of it. That's as good as it's going to get. It ain't going to get any better than that. And they get to stay in their house. Now, the other side they could have done, but when they're already in not a real expensive home to begin with, they could have sold the home and downsized, picked up a little bit more, all right, and done that. So that would be if you're behind. I'm not looking. There's not going to be an inheritance. The house on a reverse mortgage, the way they work is, your beneficiary receives it. And there's a mortgage that's accumulating on it. And if you live a long time, the possibility is that the mortgage is more, is bigger than the house is worth, or is more than the house is worth. You beat the mortgage company if that happens. So that's even good in itself, but there's no inheritance. So there you go. That's how that works. You're in the middle. Let me give you another story. In the middle, they got, $4,400 a month in Social Security between them. They need $6,000. Their house is paid for. They've got about $700,000 saved. All right. Not living large, but at the same time, they got $4,400 a month. They've got no, their house is paid for. What did we do? They said they need $6,000. I took about $200,000, I think it was about $230,000, and I stuck that into a annuity, a lifetime income guarantee annuity, joint life. And it was getting, I think, a little over 7%. Long story short, we got them $1,600 a month for about $230,000. And when we do annuities, I'm not in the business of selling annuities. We use annuities for a couple things. One is for lifetime income guarantee, and sometimes we use them for long-term care planning, which I'll talk more about that. So how did that work out? Well, we took the $1,600 a month, added it to the $4,400 a month. That was about $200,000. provided a joint lifetime income guarantee of $1,600 a month plus the Social Security. So there's that. We took the other $500 and we put it into a portfolio that was made up of about 75% stock and 25% bond. And then that way, if we have big years and they need additional money, we pull from the stock fund. If we have down years, we have money sitting in the bonds. It should be more conservative. And we now have a plan to give a lifetime income guarantee and something to keep up with inflation. And when they need to pull more money, they'll have a place to pull from. That's the additional ballpark $500,000. We do that, and they got their house. And if they ever needed something after that, they could do the reverse mortgage again and access money if they needed to do that. One day they may want to downsize their house. But the bottom line is that would be an example of what we would do. Now, from a standpoint in their case, they're borderline whether they could withstand a long-term care event, which is one of the things that we look at. Long-term care event, one way you can do it is you can buy one of these annuities, and typically what they'll do is they'll have a step up in the payment if you were to use it for the nursing home. And then when the account goes to zero, then what's going to happen is the annuity will end up continuing to pay the original income. And so I meet with people and I tell them, I said, look, we're going to do this annuity and here's why we're doing it. It's to provide an income. It's gone. You're not going to use, not going to see it anymore. And hopefully it'll go to zero. If it goes to zero, that's good. And they said, why? It's because you're still living. All right. And you've outlived the money. And when you outlive the money, that means you beat the insurance company. Hey, if everybody lived like my mom to 102, then there would be no insurance company selling annuities ever again. Because the idea is that you're buying an annuity to provide longevity risk, and you're buying an annuity to deal with any type of what we call bad sequence of return, meaning you retire and immediately the stock market drops. And so what we like to do is we use annuities occasionally. I know all the pros and cons. You know, the biggest positive with an annuity is that it's guaranteed. It's like it's a pension. And the biggest negative is that you put your money in there and just expect that's not your accumulation or inheritance money. It's money that we put aside to provide income. That's what it is. We use other instruments, managed money, ETFs, all that stuff, to be able to get you growth, possibly an inheritance, keep up with inflation, that kind of thing. If you would like a review, reach out to RoyMatlockJr.com or call 615-843-2999. Continue with me. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, segment three, Roy Matlock Jr. here. If you're just tuning in, you know, I had a listener tell me, he says, you know, I get up and I walk around the block and I listen to your podcast. I was like, that's nice. I like that. And if you are just tuning in right now or you're coming through town and you're hearing the show, I have, it's interesting the number of people that when we look at our stats, people are listening to the radio show all over the country. You can go to any of your podcast type things, Spotify, Apple, any of that stuff. Roy Matlock Jr. Money Business Hour, and we've got literally hundreds of these things that you can listen to. We even have on the website at RoyMatlockJr.com, you can type in the word budget or type in the word 401k, and you'll be able to search and go to the segments. All of our podcasts are about 10 to 15 minutes, and we do it by the show segment. So if you're just tuning in, visit that, and you can get, you know, a lot of good information. I've always believed that education is the most important thing you can ever have. What you don't know will hurt you when it comes to your money. I see money mistakes happen all the time. It just is, it's just unbelievable, some of the things that I run into. And I don't want you to feel bad if you call us and you made some dumb decisions, because most people do make some of those. But one of the things that we want to do is stop doing that. And that's how we help people. And we start with, you know, education. And if you're tuning in right now, I would encourage you to go back through the podcast and get, you know, all the education when it comes to money. And then we're implementers. We actually will pick the investments and purchase the insurance and shop everything. And we're fiduciary, so we're not tied to any one company or anything like that. Additionally, we offer a review. In this review, we go into all kinds of things. So let me tell you the things that you need to be thinking about if you're getting at or near retirement, or maybe you're retired and you're trying to figure out, say, all right, I want to make sure that my money is going to last as long as I do. And if I have any hiccups along the way, have a health scare, anything like that, that I'm going to be okay. So the first thing we do is we do what I call a retirement readiness, and that's your balance sheet. You know, what do you have? What do you owe? So if I were to meet with you, the first thing I would do is ask you questions like, you know, a start. Do you own your home? Yes. If you sold it today, what would you sell it for? Do you have a mortgage? Yes. What's your rate on that mortgage? Okay, that's good. We'll leave that alone. Don't pay off your house when you have low interest loans. That is not, that's a mistake. Don't be listening to my former co-host on that. That is a dumb decision. It is bad advice. Now, why is it bad advice to pay off a 3% loan? Because two things. Number one, when you pay it off, you're getting 3% rate of return on your money. So why would you want to invest your money at 3% when there's so many other places you can do better? The second thing is if you ever need it, it's not liquid anymore. You have to borrow it out or sell your house. So I'm like, why would someone give advice like that? All right, that's bad advice. Don't listen to that advice. Everybody that I know, if you've got a 3% loan, that is gold. All right, keep it. All right, I mean, it's just don't ever do that. All right, but anyway, that's a whole nother story. But the point being is that we go in, we ask questions. All right, so you own your home. And it's paid for, whatever. All right. Or you got a mortgage on it. It's good interest rate. All right. How about bank accounts? Do you have money sitting in the bank? Yes. How much? $150,000. Well, that's not good. That's good. You got $150,000, but we don't need $150,000 sitting in the bank. We need to have an emergency fund, which would be an amount depending on where you're at. If you're already at retirement and you've got a regular income coming in from investments, your emergency fund doesn't need to be that big. All right. The only time we would have cash set aside, we might have some bond funds, maybe a little bit of money market type stuff. So that way we're not selling our stocks to live when we are retiring. And so we're going to look at this. Then we're going to go in and say, yeah, pensions. What happens to the pension? If something happens to you, does it go to your spouse as well? Do you have any annuities? Are they old annuities? Many cases, if you bought an annuity a number of years ago when rates were down, you can get a much better rate right now. Because, you know, back in the days when rates were 3% on mortgages, well, annuities were lower interest rates. So now those can be re-upped and get a bigger income. I see lots of that kind of stuff going on. We look at any debts. Do you have anything outside of your mortgage? What type of debt? Do you have an equity line of credit set up just in case you need it? That's a big emergency fund. It's also an opportunity account. You know, if you have a chance to do something, you know, everyone should have a equity line of credit. Always borrow money or apply for credit when you don't need it. All right. Banks don't like to lend you money when you need it, and they like to charge you high rates when you need it. So what you do is you set it up when you're in great shape. And then later, if you need it, it's already set up for whatever reason. So anyway, I always do that. We look then at insurance. I take and look at your income coming in. And I ask myself, well, if something happened and one of you went in the nursing home, could you handle it? What if both of you did? Could you handle it? All right. Should we set aside some money for some type of long-term care event? All right. We do that. So now we're looking at income planning. We're looking at a review of your personal lines insurance. Why do we do that? Because you don't want to have somebody, you don't want to get in a wreck and get sued and you don't have enough liability coverage. If you've got plenty of cash set aside, meaning liquid cash, emergency fund, we can raise our deductibles. I mean, I had for years, you know, $5,000 deductibles on my homeowner's insurance and, you know, $1,500 deductibles, $1,000 deductibles on my car, or maybe even drop the collision coverage because your car's paid for and you don't, you know, you've got the ability to withstand it. And you take on the risk yourself. And so the way insurance companies work is they say, look, across the board, we're going to pay out this many claims and collect this much money. But if you are capable of being your own insurance company, and that's by taking on the risk yourself, you know, if you happen to be unlucky, well, guess what? You're going to have to pay. And if you can afford to pay, great. You know, I've been doing this kind of stuff for my entire life, because I always have enough cash set aside. So if I have something come up, well, I have the ability to pay for it. So we do a review of that. We take a look at life insurance. Do you need it? You know, if something happens, do you want some type of estate set aside? At that time, if you're older, you're going to probably be buying some type of permanent life insurance, final expense. It might be some type of variable life or index life insurance, which we know how to, we know all about that stuff. And we look at the estate planning side. What is in estate planning? First thing I do is I look at beneficiaries. I want to come back and we'll tell you stories about, you know, do you have something complicated or do you have something simple? All right. All of these things go into an action plan. And when we do this, what happens is, when you retire, you move to stage two, and which is the withdrawal stage. So stage one is accumulating. Now you're withdrawing money. But what I want to do is, you know, get, you know, the Social Security coming in at the right time. I want to then take the other monies coming in, and I want to get you back in the groove that you were in when you were working to where you have regular paychecks coming in. It's coming from your money, all right, your investment money. And then that way you've got enough money based on your budget to be able to wake up and spend money and not worry about it, all right? So you're not worrying about, should I spend it, should I not spend it? We're setting aside in the budget money for new car purchase and maintenance and vacations and everything. So the only difference is you're not getting up every day and going to your office to earn your money. What you're doing is you're saying, life is good. I'm financially independent. I don't have to worry about anything. It's in place. That's what we do. That's what I believe is a good financial plan. If you need help, call us for a free review, 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we are finishing up our, we kind of call it the retirement red zone. You're getting within about retirement age, or maybe you're there and you're turning it into an income stream. I'm going to finish this last segment with a few ideas on investment strategy, and then also we're going to hit a little bit on the transfer stage, and the transfer stage meaning setting it up for the next generation. So what we're going to do is we're going to look now, if we're retiring or we're getting ready to retire, the first thing we're going to do is start budgeting and take a look at budgets and say, you know, well, how much do we really expect to spend? And I'm going to give you some ideas. So let's say, you know, I've got, you know, couples that are both working and they both have retirement plans to work. And if they're at work doing that and they're at or near retirement, they've got decent incomes, I'm pushing them to put the maximum into their 401k, which is a little over 30 grand a year. So now they've got 60 grand that they're putting in. It doesn't cost them 60 because they're getting a tax deduction. So it may cost them 40, 45, something like that. So, but that's 40, almost $1,000 a week that they have not been living on, that when they retire, that comes right off the top of what you need to live on. Because a lot of times people say, well, I'm making, you know, $160,000 a year, and, you know, it takes this much for us to live. Well, yeah, but you now are not going to be putting that 60 grand in anymore because you're retiring. So it changes things. So we always go through and let's take a look at the budget. And once we get the budget, let's look at all of our income streams. First off, we're going to look at Social Security. I had a client call me just this last week, and he said, should I go ahead and draw my Social Security? And everybody's different, but if you're working and you hit full Social Security age, usually I tell people to draw it. And the reason I tell them to draw it is that we can save it, and it takes a long time to recoup what you would have waited to get. And so what I would do is do a Social Security review and see. You know, and a lot of people, you know, I've seen people wait to 70 and then they die. All right. I mean, it's just a lot of, you know, so there's so many reasons that you go in and we look at Social Security. Do you have a pension? If you have a pension and you have a choice, should you take the full life only, or should you do life with a joint survivorship? Sometimes it's better to take the life only, get the bigger money. Then we buy life insurance to fund the difference, and you get a bigger income, and the spread is there sometimes. So I don't know until we look at it. We look at your investments. We say, well, what kind of investment? Well, I got a business. All right, are you going to keep the business? Going to sell the business? I got rental income. Do I want to continue being a landlord? Do I want to get someone to help me be a landlord, meaning outsource it? Or do I just want to get out of the landlord business? All right. So I start looking at all these different things. Do I have annuities? Do I need annuities? Do, you know, all this kind of stuff. Do I have mutual? I go on and on, but we do a complete review. But our goal is to put you in a position. It's like a pension. All right. And we look at how much is guaranteed versus how much isn't. We're going to have buckets of income and tax situations. Let me give an example. Income, three buckets for the investments, cash. We're going to have a bucket that would be like money market liquid stuff. We'll have some stocks and bonds. We're going to have another scenario where we've got liquid cash. We've got, you know, stuff that's producing income, and then we've got stuff that's producing growth. All right. So we want to be sure and be liquid in the event that we need money. All right. I've had a lady call me. Was fighting, you know, and you know, I had some issues going on in her life and wanted to know how liquid her cash was. I'm like, it's liquid. Here's how liquid it is. It's your money. You can get it all. You know, we didn't have anything that had penalties or anything like that. It was all sitting in, and then that way it made her feel better. And so what we do is we look at all this. This is kind of the review with the idea that what we're going to do is get you in a position where you can say, it's okay. I'm not going to waste my energy on worrying about my money. All right. I took care of that by saving and investing money and getting it growing and things like that. So now when you retire, why should you be worried? Well, the reason you might be worried is you don't have a plan. And so that's where we go in and do that. Then my mindset has always been, let's, have a plan. Let's communicate a lot. I got several text messages this morning from clients asking me questions. And so we're going to review it. And if you have something change in your life, we call it a money in motion event. What is money in motion? Somebody dies, somebody gets married, gets divorced, has kids, sells a business, you know, buys a new house. If you've got any of those kind of events going on, then that's what a financial advisor's for. That's why you call us. I always tell people, if it comes to money, pick up the phone. If I don't do it, we have someone that does that we can introduce you to that handles that kind of stuff. For instance, we had a show recently about, you know, personalized insurance and looking at reviewing it. Well, why is that so important? Because you don't want to get sued, or you don't want to be paying premiums and get sued and get damaged. And so a lot of people, or if you have a claim, you don't have things in place correctly. And so if you're like that, now let me give you some ideas as we go into the transfer stage. So transfer stage is You are out there, you've retired, you've accumulated stuff, some assets. You want to make sure that all your hard work doesn't go to waste. You want to make sure that lawyers and probate court doesn't take it. You want to make sure that you don't leave behind a spouse in a business dispute with a partner. You want to make sure that your kids are not fighting over money. I can tell you right now, you know, my mother and father, this has been the easiest, simplest thing because we had planning in place. I've got three sisters and a brother, and, you know, my mother lived a long time, you know, like 12 years longer than my father. And then she was taken care of. We had powers of attorney. She's not at 95 years old, 90 years old, having to worry about paying her bills, not having to worry about making decisions on her health because we had it all in place and everything was good. And then when that time happened and she passed, everything was set up. It was in a trust. We got a lot of step-up money, a lot of things. So let's talk about wills, trust, power of attorney, healthcare directives. A living trust is something I've always recommended. There are simple situations and there are complex situations. So I'm going to give you the simple situation. Simple situation is you get married, you stay married to the same person, you have kids, and your kids are healthy, and your kids are reasonably sane. I say reasonably sane. I have four children, and always people say, "How are your kids doing?" I'm like, 75%. You know, I give them a percentage because there's always, if you have kids, you know what that means. Somebody's got something happening. But the bottom line is that that's simple. But that's not how it always is. A lot of times it's you get married, you get divorced. You have kids with another person. They have kids with another person. You buy a house with that other person. All right, now we got issues. All right, who gets the house? How's the money being structured? All that kind of stuff. That's where the living trust comes in, but it also, an estate planning attorney is probably the best bet. So there's things out there. You know, for instance, we have a service, life insurance, where you can get term life insurance or you can get final expense. It issues in 10 minutes. It's right on our website, and it includes a will and trust. I always tell people that will and trust is a do-it-yourself, but if you've got something simple, you can do it yourself. Now, if you don't have something simple, that's where businesses, you have buy-sell agreements, you may buy life insurance to buy out the partner so you're not partners with someone. There's a lot of things that go on there. But let me tell you the first thing I see. People hadn't updated their beneficiaries. All right, so then what happens is we review that. And I said, did you know your ex-wife is still the beneficiary on your 401k? Oh, man, I forgot about that. Or did you know your ex-wife is, or your ex-husband is still the beneficiary of your life insurance? Oh, I didn't know about that. Did you know that if something happened to you right now, you've remarried, that your new spouse would get the house and your kids would get nothing? Did you know that? No, I didn't know that. All right. I want this. Well, have you done anything about it? So here are the things that we do when we get with someone. If it's complicated, we're going to refer you to an estate planning attorney. All right. And we'll work with that attorney and help you get it set up. But here are the things that happen. Power of attorneys are important. That means that if you were become incapacitated, it would allow someone to make decisions on your health and pay your bills. All right. That's the first thing. You know, if one of my kids were to go down to the bank and say, "Oh, my dad was in a car wreck. I need to get in his checking account," there and say, "Yeah, right. No, we don't do that." All right. So, but if he walks in with a power of attorney and says, "Here's what's going on," then he would be able to do that, or she would be able to do that. So we want to do that. We have healthcare directives so we don't leave our kids in a situation where they have to make a decision whether they're going to cut us off or keep the life support going. So we have all those kind of things. And what does it mean? It means you need to have a plan. That's the bottom line. You need to have a plan. And when you do that, everything's smooth. You work your entire life to be able to accumulate something. Let's make sure that your family doesn't break up. And if you want to know a little something about how lack of estate planning goes. You know, I was a Titans fan, and you know, went down. I went to the Titans game. Went to the Super Bowl when the Titans went. Steve McNair, you know, and he was, you know, murdered, as we know. Any of you that were Titans fans, you know about that. But that was only the beginning. You should type in Steve McNair estate plan, and look what happened. And it was just a disaster. Here's a guy that made a bunch of money and had nothing in place, and it went on for years and years and years and years and years. And, you know, family members getting kicked out of their house and kids not getting their money. And, you know, it just went on and on and on and on. So if you haven't done that, I would encourage you to, you know, reach out to us. We have referrals for estate planning, but we also have a lot of advice on the fiduciary side that can help you get it together. If you've been listening today, this show will be on podcast. If you want to review it, the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. And this show, accompanied with the previous show, was the accumulation show prior to this. This has been the Retirement Red Zone, which takes you from accumulating to withdrawing to wealth transfer. Thanks for listening. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com if you'd like to get a free review.